Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
Welcome to episode 29 of the One Fab Day Wedding Podcast. Today we're tackling a topic that every single engaged couple can get on board with. How to save money on your wedding. No matter how big or small your budget or how extravagant or simple your wedding, every couple wants to get bang for their buck on their big day and rein in the spending where possible.
We chatted in a previous episode with wedding planner Tara Fay about why weddings are so expensive, and that episode is definitely worth a listen. You'll know from hearing us speak before that we're not generally ones to advocate cutting corners. There's no getting around the fact that wining and dining a bunch of your favourite people is a pricey business, however you choose to do it. But hopefully in today's chat we can help you identify areas where you're happy to spend less and provide some practical tips for making savings across your wedding.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a lengthy chat because there's definitely a lot to cover. It seems regardless of whatever kind of budget you have, every couple hits a wall where they feel like they've overspent.
And they're desperately trying to roll back.
Yes.
So that's probably why this episode is good to listen to. I mean, at any stage, but early on, and just sort of try and tap into what areas we're talking about that you'd be happy to save on. Because generally, I mean, you're definitely not going to be able to follow every single tip that we have, or else you just won't have a wedding anymore.
No.
It will be so strict that you have spent nothing.
Yeah, but if you can anticipate the overspending now, it'll definitely make things a lot easier down the line.
So this will be not a strenuous listen, but if you're listening to it with like a good idea of where your budget is at, you'll definitely come away from this episode with a game plan for keeping a rein on your own purse.
So notebooks at the ready.
One Fab Day Expert Wedding Tips.
As always, we're here to serve and we love nothing more than dishing up some advice to ensure smooth sailing into your wedding day. Selena, you're providing us with this week's tip. What have you got?
Yes, okay, so this week's tip is really, really good for the early days of planning. So what I've heard a few couples say they did, and I really like the idea, is when you first get engaged, maybe you're having a few nice engagement bashes and you're, you know, enjoying the buzz, The two of you go away separately without discussing it, decide on three priorities each.
Ooh, I like this.
I know it sounds a bit like you're squirreled away in different rooms in some kind of, I don't know, like
game
reality
show?
TV show. But you're not. You're just, you know, deciding separately. And then when you come together, you can see where they line up and where they diverge. And that really quickly will help you identify where compromises are going to have to be made.
Yes. What happens if there's no overlap?
There's no overlap. At least you know that you've got a tricky conversation ahead of you.
Yeah.
And maybe you've got like a lot of discussing to do with each other. But often couples find that they maybe think they're going to have different priorities, but actually at least one or two will probably be around the same area. Like you'll probably both say, I want my family to have a great time. You'll probably both say, I want to have a relaxed day. So there definitely will be some overlap.
I think it's a good way as well to allow, particularly if there's one of you that's more vocal in the relationship or someone that's a bit of a yes person, that you both get a chance to kind of say what you want from the day without the other one steamrolling the conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely that person in the relationship who my other half is always like, whatever you think. So this kind of cuts that out.
Yeah.
And you really get to find out what the other person thinks.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
Our main topic for today is how to save money on your wedding. As we mentioned up top, we're first to acknowledge that having a wedding in any sense is a big investment. But if you plan accordingly and get a little savvy about your spending, there are actually so many ways you can cut back on the bottom line. In planning this wedding, we realised we could actually do a whole series on how to save money on your wedding.
We could and we may. So from the outfits to the catering or your venue choice to your guest list, there are so many departments, if you like, within your wedding, and each one offers a different opportunity to save. So even if you've committed yourself to a luxurious venue or you have your heart set on a couture wedding dress, there are still lots of other ways you can trim down the overall cost. And as with all topics we cover on here, it's about working out where you want to prioritise.
Yeah, so before we get stuck in, I think it's important to note that as we're making savings across the rest of your life, there's no magic fix that'll save you thousands on your wedding, bar maybe slashing the guest list. The only way to do it is by being on top of your overall budget and being diligent about every single expense that goes out, essentially watching the pennies, as unromantic as that might seem. So we have lots of tips to make that happen, whatever stage of planning you're at.
So it really starts with making the budget, doesn't it? Like, you really have to have your sensible hat on.
Yeah.
When you sit down to plan out the budget.
I think making a solid and realistic budget from the absolute outset will save so much heartache down the line.
That's usually the complaint we hear from people when they're really desperate and they feel like they've overspent. It's because they did no research and they said, what does a wedding cost? Oh, I suppose about this much.
Yeah.
And had no idea that that's actually a really unrealistic amount for the kind of wedding they want.
So obviously, say you have 20,000 to spend on your wedding. That's how much you have, and there's no stretching that that's how much you have. But then there's no point in just writing down a bunch of figures and saying, well, the food will cost 5, the photographer will cost 1,000, and my dress will cost 1,000, if you haven't actually looked into what those things cost. So we have a lot of good features on the website. We have real wedding budget breakdowns, which are really good for just seeing how different couples navigated their budgets depending on how much they had to spend. And we also have some spending guides, which are really useful. So we have a guide to how much the average of what you'll spend in Ireland is, and in the UK as well. We have a second one for that. And then we have like flower guides, hair and makeup guides, dress guides, things like that. That'll definitely help you be more equipped when you start making your budget.
Yeah, and they're all updated every year as well. So you know that at least the figure there will be somewhere in the ballpark. But I think that's the problem for a lot of couples is they don't even know where to put the ballpark because they've never planned a wedding before.
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
Yeah. And as we said about identifying priorities, I think it's okay to be flexible on one or two areas. So if you find your dream venue and it's 2,000 more than you thought it was, maybe that's an area that you're okay to be flexible with, knowing that you're going to have to trim elsewhere, but you can't be flexible on everything. And that's the problem, is down the line, when you've added 1,000 here and 1,000 there, and then it just, that's an extra 10,000 by the
yeah,
end.
Suddenly your 20,000 budget is 35,000.
Exactly. And that happens to so many couples, and it really can take the shine off planning a wedding.
So, yeah, you don't want to be really stressed in the month before because you're like, oh, am I going to have to take out a loan to pay for the end of my wedding?
And the tricky thing as well is because you sign up to spend money, as in you'll pay a deposit of maybe 100 to a florist on a 2,000 euros of flowers, say, and you're spending all these deposits, but you actually have this bill coming at the end. And it's a big undertaking to manage all of that, to manage your budget, the deposits coming in and out. You're also trying to save at the same time. And if say you're getting married 2 years out, you're giving yourself plenty of time to save, but it is hard to stay track because there's so much money coming in and out. So having a good, strong budget that you stick to and that you keep on top of will help make all that so much smoother.
Like, events planner is a professional job title. So think of it that
good
way.
Reason.
If it was your job to plan this wedding, you wouldn't dream of doing it without getting out a spreadsheet.
Exactly.
And doing the budget.
Just a note as well, in the budget chat, to set a hefty contingency. We say this all the time and I cannot hammer it home enough. Anywhere between 10 and 20%, I'd say at least 15.
Yeah. I'd say, yeah, 12.5 is probably, I would say, standard for every single person. But
yeah,
depending on how thrifty or not thrifty you tend to be, maybe
yeah,
inflate or deflate a little bit.
Yeah. It's also important to keep aware of any hidden charges or fees, tips, delivery fees if you're buying stuff from overseas. There's just a lot of hidden expenses and it's better to factor all of those in now. And also not to just have, say, 2,000 for, like, bridesmaids, but you haven't actually
assigned it to anything specific.
Yes. So don't be vague. Be very specific in every single line item that you're going to need.
Yeah. Unless you have planned a wedding before, which is probably unlikely for anyone listening to this, I think the attitude to have is that I'm not 100% sure. So don't make any sweeping guesses, basically,
yes,
for
exactly
anything. For bridesmaids' dresses, even. Don't go on to some website and find, you know, search by lowest price,
yeah,
and say, oh, okay, that's definitely what I'm going to spend on a bridesmaid's dress, because
yeah,
possibly that's not going to be the dress for you.
No.
This is also probably a good time to have a chat with parents or anyone who might be giving you a bit of cash for the wedding.
Yeah.
If that's on the horizon, it would be good to know that up front. I know it's an awkward chat, but it would be helpful in making the budget.
Yeah, just so you know how much you have to work with.
Yeah.
And be realistic about how much you'll be able to save as well. A lot of couples go into it kind of, oh yeah, we can put £1,000 a month off our wedding, but then you've everything else happening and you don't necessarily want to have to stay in and eat beans for 2 years while you save for your wedding.
And you're going to have loads of people who want to meet you and go for dinner.
Yeah.
And if, for example, let's say you've decided that you want a specific dress and you have to travel to the boutique or something like that, there are all those little charges as well. So don't assume it's going to be...
The monthly facials.
It's not going to be the cheapest year or 18 months of your life anyway.
No. You'll probably be spending with abandon. So it's good to be realistic.
Yeah, yeah, from the outset. So we discussed guest list a little bit in the intro. And really... if you are looking to make a huge cut in the cost of your wedding, probably the guest list is the only way to do it.
Yeah. Generally, how many guests you have takes up about 50% of your wedding budget. So say things like flowers or the photographer are going to cost the same whether you have 30 people or 300 people. But food and drink and the size of venue you need to book, which is 50% of your budget, will... be completely dependent on how many guests you have. So if you're trying to trim things back, then that's exactly where you need to do it.
I think that's good for a lot of people to know as well, is for a lot of people, they're not willing to cut the guest list down, which is totally fine. But then at least with that information, knowing yourself that you don't want to just have 30 people, you can be realistic about what kind of venues to look at.
Exactly.
And whether to have a city versus a castle wedding and all those things.
Yeah, so when you go to visit a venue, a lot of times they'll give you a rental fee if it's exclusive hire, but then there'll also be a per head price, particularly with a hotel or more traditional venue. So it's good to have your guest list in mind for that anyway, because if there's a huge difference, obviously, if it's €50 a head and if it's €100 a head. And we had a couple on the site recently who I loved their idea. So they wanted a big guest list and they didn't want to have to cut back on any of their friends and family. So they hired like a big warehouse venue and they had pie and mash for their catering, which I thought was really cool. So there's definitely a workaround for everything. But if you are trying to cut back, the guest list is definitely the easiest way.
Yeah, as long as you know exactly where the sacrifices need to be made, I think you won't go far wrong. Like if you get 145 person per head back as a figure, you know, and the venue said, look, that's how we do the food here. We do a set 4 or 5 course meal or whatever. You're going to know exactly where you stand and you're going to have to look at alternatives if you want big, big guest list, or if you want a small guest list, you know, you might be able to swing it.
Yeah. Exactly. And that kind of brings us nicely onto our next one, which is about choosing your venue carefully and choosing the date carefully, which can save you a lot of money. So essentially, after you choose a venue, from then on, all of your decisions are kind of based around that. So it's kind of your last chance to make dramatic savings on your wedding in terms of how much decoration you're going to have to do, how much you're going to spend on accommodation, how much obviously you'll spend on the venue itself and on the catering. So you can't take that decision lightly.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if you go for a city restaurant venue, for example, you might decide, oh, it's fine for us to just have a DJ and not a band, or, oh, well, we'll just need, you know, like a bouquet. We won't really need to decorate because the room is lovely and contemporary as it is. But if you have a big castle venue, you're going to feel like you need to fill that room with lots of decoration. You're going to feel like if you're bringing people to a location in the middle of the country, you need to put on a band for them. You need to put on loads of entertainment. They can't get a taxi home at 8 p.m. There are all these decisions that suddenly are kind of made for you when you pick your venue.
You might have tables you have to dress. You might need to be required to have chair covers. You might be required to bring in your own tables and chairs, things like that. So it's important to kind of go in with all of that in mind when you start looking at venues. A lot of people talk about off-season and I'm absolutely here for it, but I do think people aren't aware how long the wedding season is.
Yeah, yeah. My other half plays in a wedding band and I can tell you that there is a very small off-peak season for weddings.
Yeah.
Like you think of it as like, oh, the weekend's in June and July, but really there are very few quiet times. I would say like a bit of January and February And then like a bit of November, really. Like autumn and spring are big, big wedding times as well.
So if you get married on a Monday in November, you might be able to get a discount. Obviously, all venues are different. So the bigger hotel venues, you might be able to negotiate. Whereas there's some very popular Irish venues in particular, anywhere that's a bit more unique, alternative or exclusive hire might be booked up a year or two in advance.
Yeah, even on that random Thursday in January.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
That's possibly going to happen.
So while it's definitely an option, so midweek or off-peak weddings are definitely an option for saving money, do be realistic about how short that window is.
Yeah, and have the conversation before you decide that it's going to save you a load of money, because they might, the people from the venue might tell you something different.
Yeah. Likewise, when you're navigating the quote with the venue. So again, as I said, some venues will be open to haggling and others are absolutely not. This is what we charge and that's it. And both are fine because it's down to supply and demand, really. Mm-hmm. But go through every line again with a fine tooth comb, because there might be unexpected fees and charges in there. You might realize it's only a 2-course meal instead of a 3 or 4-course meal, or you have to pay extra for teas and coffees. You have to pay extra to cut a cake.
Yeah.
You might be required to hire in linens, but they have a specific linen person and that's what it costs. So there's a lot of different things like that. Check what accommodation, if any, is included, if it's the bridal suite or if you're going to have to pay to upgrade to that. There's a lot of variables, so it's worth going through it all really carefully at an early stage so that you don't have unexpected bills down the line.
Yeah, definitely when things are getting to the stage where there are figures on paper, you need to be quite diligent about checking things, because you might say, oh, well, the wedding coordinator said to me that this would be no problem during our show around 3 months ago, but that doesn't mean that it's complimentary or that it's included in the fee you're quoted.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to kind of be a bit pedantic at that stage, but it's better for everyone because you know where you stand.
Yeah. When it comes to negotiating, the areas where you might be able to have a bit of wiggle room are things like corkage, accommodation, things like added canapes or them
an extra
taking
cocktail
off a
or...
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you mightn't be able to get 20% wiped off your bill.
No.
You can try. But yeah, generally it'll be things like that that they might be able to throw you in.
Yeah, exactly. Or yeah, you might be able to ask, oh, listen, is there any extras you can put on for me that will sweeten the deal? And they might say, well, actually, you know what, we can throw in an ice cream truck that we deal with or whatever as part of your package.
I'd be all about that.
And you were planning to spend a bit of money on something similar anyway. So it's worth asking what they can do for you.
Yeah.
Generally, they're pretty limited on how generous they can be, but it's always worth an ask.
Yeah, it's worth looking around too at the furniture they have and things like that that you might want to hire in, and just to see what they already have and making sure you're happy with all of that, because they might have chairs that you don't like. And then if you're going to have to pay to get different ones in, then maybe go to a different venue.
Yeah, if you're very decor focused, I would say pay a lot of attention to the decor. That sounds obvious. But you won't have to decorate a venue that you already love the look of.
Absolutely.
All that much. Yeah. Whereas if you have a really cool warehousey venue, of course it would be cool, but you're probably not going to end up with your wedding there and it just looks like a warehouse. You're probably going to want a ceremony arch, or you're going to want, you know, little tables set up with some kind of food station.
Yeah, likewise, we hear a lot of couples who book kind of a big generic ballroom and then they say, oh, we're going to make it intimate, we're going to make it romantic. And that's expensive. Hiring in lights and hiring in linens and different things like that, and fancy centerpieces. It all adds up, so try and find a venue that you love and that you won't need to do too much to,
because we all know the whole tying fans to the wall at 5 a.m. before your wedding can be stressful as well.
Yes.
You might wish you had just sprang for a planner or indeed a different venue.
Yes, exactly. And finally, on the venue chat, it's not very trendy, but choosing a like basic all-in-one package is almost always the cheapest way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people are really interested in an alternative and unique wedding, and that often doesn't pertain to, let's say, a hotel or a resort venue.
Yeah.
But just remember, if you are considering it, that kind of venue, obviously if you're not considering it, don't mind me at all. But if you are considering a hotel style, resort style venue, there are a lot of benefits to that, in that you have like this amazing service. They run a professional hotel, so a lot of extra things would probably be done for you and your guests who are staying overnight that wouldn't be done in a different kind of venue.
Yeah, it's all quite streamlined. So even down to tiny things, like they'll print the menus and they'll have the place cards for you, or they'll already have contacts with different suppliers who know how to work the room.
Yeah, they might even have a room where they're like, oh, do you want to use these vases for your centerpieces?
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Exactly. And at least with a package, you know from the very beginning what it's going to cost, as opposed to other venues where you're paying a higher fee and an accommodation fee, and then you might be sourcing outside catering, which can get extremely expensive, or a marquee wedding where everything is an unknown until
it's
you
variable.
Assemble it all together. So while I absolutely love marquee weddings, I absolutely love exclusive hire venues, if the budget is the most important thing to you, a hotel might be a safe bet.
Yeah, yeah. You're just going to have a very clear idea from the beginning, which you can't have if you're, you know, setting up a marquee on a lovely beach somewhere.
Yes, exactly.
So in terms of suppliers then, we always say that if you are trying to get competitive prices out of suppliers, it's good to cast a wide net and to shop around and get a lot of quotes.
Mm.
I will put a heavy disclaimer on this and say that that takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if you've picked one or two suppliers that you're really, really determined to scrimp on, let's say, that would be okay. But if you're doing it with every supplier, like, you're talking about adding weeks worth of work to the early stages of wedding planning. So just keep in mind that, yeah, it might be to your benefit. You might save a bit of money by contacting five photographers instead of initially two, but the workload is going to build up pretty quickly.
Yeah, but it definitely pays to try a few different ones, and then you'll get a good sense as well of what's good value. When you get the quotes back, you can negotiate or haggle, but just make sure you're always respectful and remember that this is this person's job. So we talked a lot about this in the chat with Tara Faye, but it's the idea that you're paying for a professional, for their experience, for their equipment, whatever it might be, and they deserve to be paid a fair price.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't think X is worth it, you still have to be respectful about it, and their fee is their fee. And if you need to book someone else, that's fine.
Yeah. Again, I feel like embrace ignorance. Like, remember that you don't know what flowers cost. You don't know the man hours involved in growing them, cutting them, arranging them. So, you know, try not to get to the point where you're just assuming like, oh, they're overcharging me, because unless you have experience in that field, you don't know.
Yeah. So I think the most respectful way to do it is to just let them know what your budget is and ask if they're in any way flexible on their fee. They'll say yes or no.
Yeah. And I think if you say it, put it in that way and are really polite, then people will get back to you. Whereas if you send a really cheeky email with loads of like winky emojis going, what can you do for this price? And you turn into a bit of a Del Boy.
Yeah.
They might not even reply, and I don't blame them.
No, you might be their 10th Del Boy that week.
Yeah, yeah.
Likewise, I think it's important to just be mindful of where you're cutting corners and how you're choosing to do it. So think about how it might impact on your guests. So say cutting back maybe on a centerpiece won't ruin anyone's day, but cutting back on canapes might make your guests hangry by the time dinner rolls around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a matter of just really thinking about the impact of the savings that you make. And likewise, I think it's better to go with a good quality vendor and have less of the product than have like a whole room full of flowers, but it's done by a really inexperienced florist who won't execute it well.
And maybe we'll just wreck your head the whole time
because
they're not on a professional level where they're used to dealing with couples.
Yeah, because a great florist will be able to make you something beautiful for your budget regardless, whereas an inexperienced florist could give you dead flowers.
And like troubleshooting as well, like people who have years of experience in the business, even whether they're the kind of suppliers who are with you on the day or whether they like, you know, create the product and then head off, that knowledge is really valuable. And if something goes wrong in the lead up to the wedding, to have experienced professionals around will really benefit you, because they'll be able to tell you, oh, I was at a wedding where this happened and this is what we did and it was actually worked out fine.
Yeah, whether it's a smaller bouquet or a one-tiered wedding cake or a shorter amount of photography time.
Yeah.
But with a really good experienced vendor, I'd say err on the side of that.
Yeah, it's worth remembering as well that just because, let's say, two photographers have the same style doesn't mean they run their business the same way. So like one of them might work on packages and they might have, you know, only full day packages and they don't do anything else, and another type might do
5 different packages that are different lengths. And they're totally within their right to like do things differently, and just keep that in mind and be respectful. There's no right or wrong way for them to do their business or run their business. That's just the way they do it to best make things run smoothly.
Yeah.
So keep in mind that you might get slightly different quotes from people for different products. And just as long as they're clear on what you're getting for your money, it should be all good, and you should be able to really compare them accurately. Yeah.
Another thing to note, similar to the venue, it's worth having a chat with them to see what else they can do. So say a florist might have amazing decor that they'll be able to lend you or give you for the day, or you might be able to hire from them. Likewise, a cake baker might help set up a dessert table. So a lot of good vendors double job, for want of a better word. So a lot of florists are also stylists, and they might be able to dress the tables for you. So it's worth just seeing what else they can do, and then that way you're saving on hiring 2 different suppliers.
Yeah, like hair and makeup sometimes can be the same person, and a lot of bands have a DJ service.
Yes.
So there are a lot of different areas where, yeah, you might be able to make a saving because you're booking essentially 2 services with 1 person.
Seasonality is another really good way to cut back on the expense of different suppliers. So that's florists and food. I'm sure flying in orchids from Singapore in the middle of winter does add up.
It's not cheap. Yeah. No. It's handy that seasonality is a trend at the minute. Yeah. Not just because it means that, you know, people listening to this are considering it, but it means that suppliers will be used to being asked for it. So now that seasonal flowers are a big thing, nearly all florists will know what it is and be able to offer you options.
Yes.
On seasonal flowers.
Yeah.
The really good suppliers will have advice for you on how to save money as well. I know that sounds contradictory, like why would they save themselves money, but they will say things to kind of help you, I suppose, have the kind of day that you want for the budget that you've laid out. So if you say, listen, I really want a ceremony arch, I can't afford one, they'll say, well, do you know what we could do is I could make 1 arrangement. And if you are able to source, let's say, a wooden archer, like you have an uncle who can put it together for you, who's a carpenter, you know, that's a way we can meet in the middle. So it's definitely worth saying to them, A, what your budget is, and B, you know, I'm really trying to save in this area. Yeah. They will have advice on that.
Yeah. When I was planning my wedding, our florist kind of said, give me like a sky's the limit brief, and then you can cut back accordingly, which did work well. But then it was really hard to cut back because I'd invested in
you wanted everything.
Yes. Which also brings us on to a do be careful of an upsell and try and stick to your brief where possible. So if you go in and you just want, I don't know why we're picking on the florist, we'll go with the cake. If you want 3 tiers and you wanted all the same cake, and then all of a sudden you're being sold 5 tiers of 5 different flavours.
And a plate of macaroons.
Exactly. For twice the price. That's obviously not ideal. So yeah, you do have to stick to your guns a bit, and it can be really hard when you're shown something really beautiful and all of a sudden that's the only thing you can think of and you really want to have it.
Well, I think you know when someone's being pushy. And in that case, if you're at early stages, you can choose not to use that person because they might be a bit annoying down the line.
Yeah.
And if you're already using them, you can just be firm with them and say, listen, this is my budget. I really, really can't go beyond that. And there's nothing they can say back except, okay, right, I'll give you what we agreed on.
And as we said, if it's not a priority, then there's no need to be flexible on it. Whereas maybe a great videographer, you might decide to push the boat out and spend an extra 500 on the right person.
Yeah, and so you should. In terms of style now, I know a lot of people listening will be like, I want to look good. Yes. This is not an area to cut corners.
No.
And it may or it may not be, basically. If you've had your heart set in a couture wedding dress from the off and you feel like it's realistic for you to set that money aside in the budget, then I think you really should.
Yeah.
But if you're someone who's like, do you know what, clothes have never been that important to me, or, you know, I'll feel my comfort is more important than like wowing everyone in the room, then you'll be able to get a beautiful outfit, but it just won't cost the, you know, same amount as a high-end designer dress.
Yeah, there are stunning dresses to be had at every single price point. And it's really hard to say an average of what people spend because it can really go up to 20,000 plus and be in the hundreds. So yeah, it's about what figure you're comfortable spending. We really like that kind of idea of a high-low approach. So maybe you don't spend a lot on your dress, but you go all out in on your shoes or
a headpiece maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a real statement piece and that's a real big part of your look.
Yeah. So I think it is about how it sits with you, because a lot of people say they only want to spend a certain amount and then when they go in, they actually are like, no, do you know what? I really love this dress and I don't mind spending a lot on it. Whereas someone else might try on a gorgeous dress and be not comfortable at all with the price.
Yeah, we really have seen beautiful wedding dresses on the site for 80 quid, 550 quid, all the way up to 20 grand.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's possible. It's just about finding the right thing for you and what works for you. And
yeah.
On that note, I would say if you have a strict budget, don't be going into shops and trying on dresses you can't afford.
Yes. Yeah. Most boutiques are very stringent on asking your budget and not showing you dresses yeah. beyond it. If your boutique doesn't do that, tell them your budget and tell them that you do not want to try on a yeah. single dress.
You don't have to try it on if it's outside of your budget.
Yeah.
And I would respect you to no end if you were like, listen, I know I'm going to fall in love with that dress. It's yeah. not in my budget. I would rather have a band. That's more important to me and my friends and my guests.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying that on. That's completely acceptable to say.
Yeah. If you are trying to save money on your dress, ask your boutique about samples. Keep in mind, bridal samples aren't like a fashion size zero. They can be all kinds of sizes. So it's worth asking. Likewise, asking if they have any sample sales coming up. Or if they have trunk shows, which is when a designer visits the boutique or they get in a full collection, often they might have like a 10% discount over the duration of the trunk show.
Yeah.
So it's a nice opportunity to just score some savings.
Yeah. Boutiques and groomswear outfitters will often have one or two big bridal or groomswear events a year
mm.
where you can make big savings. So if you yeah. have a big lead in time, maybe sign up to their newsletters of people
yes.
you're interested in and
yeah.
keep an eye out, and you can actually wait until the day.
Yeah.
It comes up to go and visit them.
Yeah, likewise, follow any designers you love. Newsletters are definitely the best way to be in the know, because obviously we know the Instagram algorithm doesn't always show
it doesn't
you
know what
you
it's doing these days.
So yeah, newsletters are definitely the way to go. August is also a really good time if you're shopping, just it tends to be right before a lot of the boutiques get their new stock in. So it can often be the time where samples become available. If you're shopping high street, which I know some brides are eager to do, or for bridesmaids' dresses as well, a lot of the wedding collections come in around March up to May, and they go really quickly. So it's worth keeping an eye out for those as well.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're in October now and you're wondering where are all the high street bridal collections, we don't know why, but they tend to be in the spring.
Yeah.
Maybe as they get more popular down the years, they will start doing twice yearly or three times yearly collections. But at the minute, that's a good general rule.
It's really important to factor in all the elements of your look as well when you're planning out the price of it. So 2000 might be your budget for your dress, but then have you factored in alterations, the shoes, the veil? That could be another 1000 at least. So when you're looking at dresses, keep all of the rest of those costs in mind as well.
Yeah, and think about things like, for example, if you are thinking of a T-length wedding dress, you know that you're probably going to be pickier about the shoes you wear as opposed to a maxi dress where only the slightest little flash of your shoe will be seen. So things like that to keep in mind when you're shopping for your dress. Try and imagine all the other accoutrements that you want to have. And we should say on groomswear as well, you can definitely make savings. I would argue that with groomswear, it's something you can actually use and wear after your wedding. So I always say if you have the money to get a really nice suit, do it, because you will wear it. Like, look, the bride probably isn't going to wear her dress again.
I don't know, Celine, I wear mine to do the hoovering all the time.
I'll be looking for pictures of that, please. So in general, I don't really recommend going for lower quality on groomswear, because you will always need a good suit.
Yeah.
And a lot of the really good groomswear outfitters will give you free alterations on your suit for life.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. A lot of the really big ones do offer that. So that's great, because then, you know, like, unless your weight really radically changes, you should get 10 years, maybe 20 years out of your suit. And again, if you, I know this sounds very boring, but if you buy with a very timeless look in mind, which a lot of grooms do, they're not really, a lot of grooms aren't going for very statement suits. You should be able to wear it for a long time. So that's the one caveat with the groomswear. But of course, you can do high street. If you have a particular requirement, like you're very, very tall, and you need to get a pair of trousers custom made, you can do that and then match it with a high street blazer and waistcoat.
Yeah. Yeah, and likewise, for a more bespoke look, you can always buy a suit and have it tailored to you rather than getting the full thing made.
Yeah.
Renting absolutely. Is quite common for grooms, men really, and often grooms as well. But there's increasingly an amount of cool places that do bridal wear and bridesmaids.
Yeah, and like definitely consider that, especially if you have a particular very popular dress in mind from a popular designer and you know for a fact, God, that dress has been all over Pinterest. Chances are, if it has, that one of these boutiques that rent wedding dresses might have it in stock.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth checking out. It won't be for everyone, but if you're trying to cut back, it's definitely one of the ways to go. As we're talking about wedding parties, it's worth talking to them about your budget as well before they start looking at dresses or suits. Talk to them about what they already have. So particularly for groomsmen, if they all already own a grey suit, maybe you could just buy the ties if you're not going to be super particular about having a very styled look. Likewise, if all of your bridesmaids own a red dress, maybe you could just do that instead of having formal bridesmaids' dresses. Again, loads of these won't be for everyone, but if that's you and you're the kind of person who's not going to mind or you're just happy for them all to wear like a nice dress they already own, then just go for that.
I mean, call me harsh if you must, but I feel like getting rid of the formal wedding party can be a really good way to save.
Yeah.
Because anyone I know who's done that, they've still had the same level of support from their friends and their friends are still there to carry the rings or, you know, help show people to their seats or hold your bag or whatever it is. You just don't have to pay for their outfits.
Yeah, they're not going to begrudge you just because you didn't spring for the dress.
Yeah, exactly. They're just going to be delighted to A, wear what they want and B, to have a great day with you and help you out wherever you need it. So if you're not really devoted to the idea of having the photo where everyone's dressing the same thing, definitely consider just not having formal bridesmaids and groomsmen and just say to them, like, as you did, Claire, will you be my non-bridesmaids or non-groomsmen?
And you were very good at the job.
Thanks. And I wore my own unitard.
You did. It was cool. You had a costume change midway.
I did. I actually had three planned, but I only got as far as the second one before the band started and I forgot all about it.
That's fair.
It was a very dramatic evening.
I think as well, cutting back on your wedding party will also just save on other formalities like the gifts for everybody, or some people cover the accommodation for a wedding party. So if you don't have one, you do save there. Now, again, I didn't cut back on a wedding party to save money. It was just a happy coincidence. So it has to be something that you're invested in doing because it does kind of change the vibe of your day. I like that it informalizes it. But yeah, it's definitely a handy way to save some cash.
Yeah. And you can always take the old wedding trope and try and borrow things.
Yes.
For your something borrowed. I would say this works probably even better with stuff like decor. If you've had friends who've been married recently and they went and bought a load of napkins or cutlery, definitely ask them, oh, do you have any of them lying around? They'd be delighted to give them to you.
Absolutely. We loaned friends of ours our lights and our napkins, and it was so good to actually just see them be used again, because when are we going to use 100 napkins?
Yeah, I mean, you've got about 10 in weekly rotation and then the rest of them are up in the attic in a box.
Exactly. And when it comes to style, things like veils are really nice to wear again, and jewellery as well is lovely to have something that's someone else's.
Yeah, definitely. You can do the same for bridesmaids as well. If you have maybe bridesmaids' shoes that someone maybe has left over, it's always worth asking, especially friends who've gotten married very recently.
Decor is an area where I think a lot of people think they can save loads of money by DIYing, and it's not always the savvy saving tool that you might think.
If you don't have knowledge in that area, you might end up going through 200 euros or pounds worth of materials before you realize I can't make my own ceremony arch, or I can't make my own guest book sign.
And I've made several wedding cakes and they're not cheap.
No, like anything that's, like you say, on that scale where it has to feed 80 people or it has to be seen by 100 people in a congregation, you know, it's going to be a big job. So just keep that in mind. Obviously, if you have skills in any area that you could apply to your wedding, definitely do that.
Like my dad has good handwriting, so I just got him to like write everything and do all our signs and stationery and things like that. But unless you have a calligrapher for a father, it's probably not advised.
We actually had a bride in the site recently who taught herself calligraphy and did it all herself. Whoa. Now it was beautifully done, but I think I'm pretty sure she started like with actual lessons like 2 years out, like something that now she wants to do like for her friends and for probably she has the most beautiful Christmas cards ever, every year or whatever. But yeah, just bear in mind that if you are thinking of taking up a new skill, and we see this a lot, so it does happen, you have to have time to perfect it. You have to have time to practice before you suddenly start working on your wedding things that are going to be there on the day, and that the materials for practice runs, that all has to be included, and it might not square up well with how much it would cost to just buy it or ask someone to make it for you.
Yeah, definitely. Using the internet to your advantage can be a great way to save on decor. So printables are really good, and they're often some of our most searched features on the site, or like printables for hen parties or printables for stationery. Likewise, using the internet to source things from maybe sites that are like less pretty than Etsy, but you might find something cheap.
If you were willing to put the hours into scrolling, you might be able to bag a bargain.
Yeah.
Obviously, in an ideal world, you would shop locally for everything. But we're talking about cutting costs here.
Yes.
So if this is the area where you've decided to be a bit of a Scrooge, then that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
And you could also consider as well maybe limiting your stationery to, you know, maybe one piece.
Yeah.
Let's say the invitation. I think it's really nice to have a hard copy invitation. Obviously some couples do all digital.
Yeah.
But you could even spring for a nice stationer's invitation, and then you could do the menus yourself if you really are trying to save in that area.
Yeah, on the day stationery is a handy place to cut back there.
Yeah.
I think it's a really nice idea to think of your decor as an investment. So we've seen like a big trend lately is the neon lights. So a lot of couples say they bought that for their wedding and then they hung it up in their kitchen. Potted plants is another big trend, and it's nice and sustainable that couples or their guests can take them away afterwards and use them rather than throw away things or cheap things that you're not going to use again.
Definitely, like a little bar cart, let's say, to put your wedding cake on and dress up the venue, and you can then, if you know it fits in your home, that works out. Definitely, it's a good idea to limit the amount of like cheapy last minute things that are purchased. And a lot of this is just talking to yourself and saying, no, the venue will look beautiful.
Yeah.
The room's going to look amazing.
Yeah.
And not falling victim to thinking that you need everything to have a ribbon on it or everything to have a pom-pom on it.
And a lot of the shops know like when wedding season is and you go into Penny's and they have this like copper bunting, and all of a sudden you're like, I need that. You don't.
No, you've got a plan. You're sticking to it. There are loads of professionals involved in your wedding. The coordinator, maybe even a stylist. Loads of people have seen the room and are like, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
You don't need any more validation than that.
And as we mentioned, reuse and recycle while we're being sustainable. Talk to your friends about what they have. Things like candle holders, lights, bunting. You might be able to score from them.
We actually have a feature on the site that is called Wedding Non-Essentials that you can ditch from your wedding right now.
Yeah.
Which I think I went through it and calculated how much it could save you if you were going to have everything on the list and you ditched everything on the list. And it was somewhere like 6,000 or 7,000 euro pounds, sort
Whoa.
Of. So that's a good place to go. And if there's anything on there that you can just cross off the list, absolutely go for it. Now, I'm not talking about big things. Things like the fancy hangers that you put your wedding dress on for the photo, the pajamas you get for your bridesmaids, you know, the expensive bouquets that you buy for your mams as a thank you that they then leave
wedding
in
favors.
The hotel. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there that are lovely and absolutely have them. And I've been at weddings where they've been there and I've really appreciated them, but really, really, really not essential.
No. In the same vein, it's really important to watch out for last minute expenses. So the things like the night before your wedding, I'm buying everyone a round of drinks. That's really nice and really generous. I'm not saying don't do it. But keep in mind that all those things are coming down the line and each of them will be expensive. Say when you're in Brown Thomas or in a department store the week before your wedding and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I might buy a new lipstick and I might buy a wedding fragrance and oh, I deserve this fancy moisturizer, it's my wedding week, and all of a sudden you've dropped 200 quid and you don't really know what you bought.
Yeah, I think just keep reminding yourself, I am throwing an amazing free party for my friends and family, and that might help take some of the guilt off of things like, oh, I really need to like offer to pay for everyone's room or offer to pay for their taxis to the rehearsal dinner or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And just think of it as well as your wedding day is a giant treat for not only your guests, but you and your other half. So if you're thinking, I need a wedding fragrance, listen, you've got a really, really big treat, the best day of your life, arguably, coming on Friday. So maybe you don't need the fragrance.
Yes. And I think that's something to keep in mind throughout the duration of your planning. You do get swept up in it, and it's such a fun, exciting time. But there is that like monthly facial you decide to get, or you're trying to get your nails to look good, so you go for regular manicures, or every time you have a dress fitting, there's cocktails afterwards. And all those things, I'm not saying you don't deserve to indulge, but all those things add up. And between that and the last minute things, and the fact that you bought these glasses because they say Mr. and Mrs. on them.
Yes.
You're talking a couple of grand easily. And none of that will be on your budget. None of that will be the kind of thing you take note of, which is why you have to be extra cautious about them.
Yeah, I think it's just about being deliberate. Like, if you can say conclusively that, no, do you know what? 3 bridal boutique appointments, and after each one, me and my mum, my sister go for 3 slap up lunches with Bubbly. That's really meaningful to me. That's important. Set money aside for that and keep that in the back of your head, even if it doesn't go on the wedding budget. Put it down somewhere, write it down on your own personal budget as I must remember to save this money for this month and next month. But if you go into it with wild abandon and go, oh sure, I have to have a glass of Bubbly with every single wedding decision I make, then you might end up regretting that you didn't just save some of that money and get a massage the week of the wedding to de-stress or something like that. So just try to, I suppose, foresee, you know, where the value is for you.
Because you need to be able to pay the venue on the week of your wedding.
You do. They're not going to give you a free wedding.
No.
I'm afraid.
Sadly not. So yeah, in general, a lot of this is just about having a healthy attitude towards wedding spending.
Yeah, like I have heard so many couples use the phrase monopoly money around weddings and say that they went into it being like, do you know what? I'm going to get this wedding over the line for $2,000. And then suddenly it felt like monopoly money and they just started writing checks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if people write checks anymore, but metaphorically writing checks left, right and center, because they're like, sure, we're in now. We've sunk a load of money in already. We can't pull out. So we have to just keep going. And that's, I suppose, the kind of fix that we're hoping to help you avoid, where you really, really are spending more than you want.
Because honestly, when you're in the throes of it, an extra $1,000 doesn't sound like anything because you've already spent 30 and you're like, I don't even know where we are anymore. I just need to like fight fires here.
Yeah.
And it's frightening. And I think it's important to think of, in a year's time, will this matter? In 10 years' time, will this matter? Because even the month after your wedding, you start to think about certain things that you spend money on and you feel a bit silly. And like we said in our anxiety episode, if you think of, will this matter in a year's time? Will this matter in 10 years' time? And if the answer is no, then you probably can ditch it.
Or even, would I have done this a year ago? Like a year ago, would I have spent €700 on a pair of shoes? Now, you probably wouldn't have. And doesn't mean you can't buy the €700 pair of shoes, but it might suddenly make you think, do you know what? I'm going to go for the €200 pair of shoes. I'm not going to go for the pair I would have bought last summer when I was going on a night out, but I'm going to try and, I suppose, measure it to be a bit more like what my non-wedding life is, because you have a lot of non-wedding life left to live.
Yeah, it does feel like you're not in real life. You're in this wedding bubble. So you do have to like remove yourself from it and think, would I be outraged at this cost? Like just adding, like just being like, oh, do you know what? It doesn't matter. Yeah, sure, we'll get the ice cream cart or whatever it is. Whereas the like, you know, 20 Irish dancers to come in and do Riverdance or whatever.
I mean, that sounds great, but
please do that.
But you could also think as well, like if I went for lunch with Claire and she told me, well, I've just booked this Irish dance troupe for €10,000 for my wedding. How would you react to that usually? Would you go like, she's absolutely lost the plot? Or would you be like, well, do you know what? It'll be worth it. And depending on what you think that reaction would be, will tell you how you're going to feel about your decision in a few years' time.
And you need to be honest with yourself, both in those moments and about how much you actually are spending and how much is going out, and keeping a legitimate track. Not just a, oh yeah, no, I'm sure it's fine, I spent about 100 there.
Yeah.
When actually it's probably closer to 3. And it's, you just need to write it all down, and it's the only way that you'll be honest with yourself and that you and your partner will be on the same page. Because if you're both spending it with abandon, you're in trouble.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people will round down the amount they spend when talking to other people. Like if you're talking to other people about how much you spent in your wedding, you're definitely going to downplay it.
Yes.
I totally understand that.
Yeah, and it's nobody else's business.
Off you go, especially if it's something like parents. You know, sometimes they'll ask questions about how much things cost.
I remember my dad being outraged by the cost of certain things.
Yeah, and because he was comparing it to his own wedding when it didn't exist, that trend or whatever. So that's fine. But tell the white lies for other people, but be honest on your own spreadsheet.
Yes. I think couples need to keep in mind that they shouldn't compare themselves to others. So just because Jane down the road dropped $5,000 on her dress doesn't mean you need to.
Yeah, it can be hard if, for example, you recently went on a shopping trip with a friend and you went to a big high-end boutique and you know that you just can't afford that and you'd love it. I understand that it can be really, really tempting to like look around for yourself or whatever. But again, that's another thing you just have to kind of try and drill into yourself that your wedding is your wedding. It's no one else's.
Yeah. And know that on the day, no one else is totting it all up. No. Like, obviously, there'll be certain venues or certain weddings you go to and you're like, oh, this is swanky. But you're never actually being like, and then they gave me this drink. And no one's saying like, oh, well, they had mojitos and they had bubbly and the mojitos are probably more expensive. Like, no one's thinking that.
No, your wedding is not the free swag room at the Oscars.
No.
People don't come out. I mean, that'd be great. But no one's coming out going like, oh, that was a bit stingy, that part. Or like, this brand didn't give me enough makeup palettes or whatever it is. Nobody is going to say things like, God, they didn't have any favors, that was disappointing, or oh, they didn't even pay for a drink at the toast. Do you think people will actually even notice?
No,
they'll either be off at the bar buying their own drink, chatting away to someone, they'll be still on their glass of wine. You know, people don't notice these things. You do, because you're the one planning.
I've been to weddings with all manner of, like, you know, whether it's drinks at the drinks reception and then a cash bar for the rest, and I've been at weddings where the drink was applied for the whole night, and honestly, it didn't make a huge difference to the experience.
No, I have drank the same amount at free bar weddings and weddings where there's literally wine at the dinner and that's it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are the same. And even if they're not, they won't judge you for it.
No.
Because really, everything about your wedding to them is a bonus. A free meal, a couple of free drinks, a free band, that's all a bonus. They weren't getting if, you know, they were spending Saturday night at home.
No. And having worked in weddings, I can absolutely verify that sometimes the ones that seem the swankiest were a lot less expensive than the ones that seem more rustic are actually often a lot pricier. So you can't tell. And you can't compare like for like, because every single person's wedding's different.
Yeah, and don't try to make decisions based on that as well. That like, oh, won't everyone be impressed if this is the brand of shoe I have, or if this is the wedding venue and everyone's heard of it and everyone knows it's high end versus like this venue no one's heard of because it's fairly new and a bit under the radar. You just have to think about what's best for you in terms of your wedding and your budget and not be worrying about things like designer labels or prestige.
Yes. And don't be afraid to be a bit creative. So obviously, as we said, the most simple package is often the cheapest, and doing things your own way can be more expensive. But don't forget, you can always do the ceremony with your family and then throw a big party and get a pizza truck to come. Or you can do a week of parties and have, you know, a night with your college friends, a night with your family, and just have big nights out and not actually have a wedding. You can do it so many different ways. You're not restricted to the drop the 31,000 on a house with a ballroom and a dress and all of that. There's no rules, and the only thing you actually have to spend is the around 200 euro, I'm not sure what it is in the UK, on your
marriage
license.
I think it's actually quite a bit less.
I think it's like £60, which is unfair, Ireland.
Thanks, HSE.
But that's all you have to spend, is that's it. And everything else is optional. And if you keep that in mind, it might put things into perspective for you.
Yeah, in the early days, it's good to know that and remember that. And to know that you can always, as long as you haven't, you know, made any big bookings yet, you can always strip it back and change things up if the budget is of the essence. I think that's a good place to leave it.
One Fab Day
Listener Dilemmas.
Each week on the podcast, we take a deep dive into our inbox to pull out a listener dilemma and hopefully solve one of your problems. So, Claire, you have found a query from a groom that was emailed in to us recently, yes?
Yes. So he says, my significant other and I are going for a DJ only. Any ideas on what we could do to entertain our guests in between the time of the DJ playing after the speeches are done? We're eating beforehand. We definitely don't want a band and are kind of stumped with what to do. We may get a talented singer who'll sing a few songs, but I was thinking something hands-on would be nice for guests. If I'm right, there should be about 30 to 45 minutes of downtime.
So there's lots of things you could do.
Yeah, I would say though, nearly every wedding has about a half an hour between dinner and the band, if it's a band or the DJ. And people just tend to chat and mingle and there's background music.
Oh yeah, like if you're asking, do I have to fill this time
yeah.
with something, you absolutely don't.
No.
So if you listen to our advice and you toss around a few ideas and you still don't like any of them, like
yeah.
don't worry about it.
No.
People by the end of the meal and after the speeches will have loads to chat about. So they're
yeah.
in a chatty mood. So they yeah. won't need anything.
Yeah. So don't worry about that.
What I think would be nice would be maybe some instrumental music.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tend to feel like at the point where people have been drinking a good bit, you know, after the meal and the speeches, people are probably a few drinks in. They're probably not going to pay too much attention to a singer.
Yeah.
That's why you kind of need to go for like a big, like banger filled band set list at that
yeah.
point. But for a bit of atmosphere, you could do something like a jazz trio or something. That
yes.
would be really, really nice, and people
yeah.
would appreciate it. It would like really like up the atmosphere, and you know, the guests who aren't three sheets to the wind will like pay attention and love
yeah.
it, and the others won't be like appalled that it's going on, distracting from their chats.
Yeah, I was at a wedding that had a mariachi band at that moment. It was very fun.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. Like instrumental music of any kind. It could be, you know, a barbershop quartet. I mean,
oh, yeah.
they sometimes have lyrics, but they also don't have to.
Yeah, definitely something upbeat, because that's the time where you don't want there to be a drop in atmosphere, because everyone's kind of high after the speeches. But then they also, like, the food coma might set in.
Yeah.
So it's worth having, even if you just have a playlist on the background, that it's upbeat music.
You could do something like really off the wall, like a caricaturist or a magician. I will say that those things tend to work better in the drinks reception, because people
yeah.
are more, A, sober, and B, they're just more, like, open to stuff like
yeah.
that. Usually by the time the DJ is getting ready to come on, people are just either have decided they're going to have the chats for the night if they're not dancers, and if they're dancers, they're just dying to go on the dance floor.
Yeah. At our wedding, at the end of the meal and the speeches, my mother-in-law turned to me and said, what time is the band starting? And say it was in 40 minutes around then. And she goes, oh no, there'll be a terrible lull now. And I was like, it's my wedding day, so don't say that, please. also, there won't be, because everyone was in such a good mood at the end of the speeches that everyone just kind of chatted. And we also had a photo booth at that time, and that was a handy time to catch people for the photo booth. So you could do something like that that's a bit interactive but isn't like a drain on people's energy or anything like that.
Or even if you are planning the DJ to be a bit of a like mad party vibe, you could do things like ask wedding party members to start handing out glow sticks, or
yeah.
doing like glow makeup, or if you're maybe wanted to add a fun element to the dance floor part, get that started. And
yeah.
that would definitely take away any of the potential lull.
Yeah, but definitely don't worry about filling it, because that's generally the time where people chat to someone they weren't sitting beside. And
yeah.
they kind of work the room and have the chats.
People are comfortable and well in the flow of the wedding at this point. So I wouldn't worry too much about filling that gap.
No.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I, Ross.
Take the Emily.
Take the Rachel.
Take the Rachel.
Step away from the spreadsheets.
So many people tell us that without realising, wedding planning has taken over their lives, and we're here to put a halt to that. Each week we make a recommendation aimed at getting you to step away from Pinterest and do something different. Selena, what's your pick for us this week?
So this week I am picking the Be Kind Rewind series of video essays on YouTube. So they're kind of like episodes of a documentary almost, except they're a little bit more lo-fi, and I'm not sure what the name of the woman is who does them, because I don't think she reveals herself anywhere on the account, but she's incredibly well researched, and they are all about Hollywood, and specifically there's a series of 20 episodes on Best Actress Oscar races. So she won't just talk about the winning performance or the losing performance, she'll actually talk about the campaign that the actresses and the studios went on to try and get a certain actress to the number one spot. And she has some really, really good videos as well that deal with sort of different political reasons why someone might not win, like issues of race or sex appeal often come into it. Like you'll notice that there haven't been a lot of black women who've won Oscars, especially the Best Actress category. I think there's only still two or three, and she discusses that in loads of detail. It's really, really well researched and really interesting. And then she'll do an odd episode on, like, let's say Harvey Weinstein scandal, and she did a really good one. If you liked the movie A Star Is Born, she compared the recent version to the three previous versions.
That was really good,
which is really, really interesting. So if you like Hollywood at all, she goes right from the 30s to present day. She does a lot of present day stuff, and then she does a lot of stuff that would be very much the forefront of everyone's minds, like 70s and 80s Oscar wins and stuff like that. So it's a really, really good watch, I think.
That sounds like the kind of channel I'll get lost in for days.
And you know what's great is that you don't need to, like, physically watch it. It's kind of works almost like a podcast as well.
Oh, so you can have it on while you're cooking or
you
something.
Can put it on while you're doing the dishes and only, you know, like, cast a glance up. It's good double duty that way.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
Alas, we've reached the end of episode 29 of the One Fab Day Wedding Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. It really is an honour when busy brides or grooms tune in and spend precious wedding planning time listening to us wax on about weddings. Please do spread the word, tell all your friends, and if you haven't already, rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've got a dilemma or even a comment to share, you can drop us a line at hello@onefabday.com or DM us on social channels. We're at onefabday on all of them. And as always, don't forget to visit us over at onefabday.com. We're not just a podcast. We've got almost 10 years worth of features on wedding planning in the categories of inspiration and information over there on the site from a whole team of people who really know their stuff. So definitely, definitely pay us a visit.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.